The Judge Joe Brown Show, presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Uncensored truth with a legal twist. Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 929-477-1167. Or visit MissValerieDeniseJones.com for details.
All right, guys. We are at the bottom of the hour. I appreciate you guys so much for hanging out. I see you guys in the chat room. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. Like I said, because of you, our listeners, our loyal fans, people who join us on social media, thank you. We are now broadcasting in over 11 different countries, and we do plan on expanding even more. We are building up our YouTube pages. We're building up our Facebook page. We finally shifted around the furniture enough to where we know what we're definitely doing during the week. Like I said, guys, we will no longer broadcast on Tuesdays. No more on Tuesdays unless we have a special edition, like a Matthew Knoll, who you guys know has been on the show before, or Mary J. Blige, or somebody like that who has have dropped by, you know, to share their story with us. So if we have something like that, and I'm not talking about because we consider them more important than anybody else, that's not what I mean. I mean people whose schedules are so hectic. I don't care if it's grandma and grandpa who have a hemp store or a dispensary, you know, over town, across town, and they want to talk about it. We have to make sure we get those stories out. So if our schedules, we cannot accommodate their schedules, then we will do something on a Tuesday, and I will definitely send out a notification to let you guys know that we will be going live. But other than that, we have moved to Thursdays officially. Thursdays. Everybody Loves to Talk is the title of the new show, and then we will have some light versus heavy, and heavy not always meaning social conscious content, right? Sometimes it'll just mean like today where we got some people who are have acclimated into their industry and they're doing something very, very different that doesn't necessarily have a comedic undertone. So that's what I mean. And then Fridays, of course, we're still hanging out with Judge Joe Brown, definitely having a good old time. It's like uncensored truth with a legal twist. That's what I call it. So, guys, you know, we just never know what to expect when we open up Judge Joe Brown's mic. But we do have a great show tomorrow. We have a guy who used to be a pimp, and he's now an activist, but he got quite a few laws changed because he had an incident that happened. Something happened to his son, so now he is out here giving his lifeblood, you know, to changing laws regarding gun laws and so forth and so on. But you'll have to tune in tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are a little bit behind schedule. I apologize, you know, for that. I also apologize to today's guests. What we want to do at this time, I'm talking seriously fast because I need to move on. I won't play the commercial, so thank you so much to our sponsors. I will play Tia's and Ebony's at the end of the show. I see you guys hanging out, so definitely want to make sure I pay tribute to Luca and JR and all those others who I normally play. I will make sure to bring that, you know, into the broadcast tomorrow again at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, guys, let's shift gears. We've got Mr. Thurman. Mr. Thurman in the house. He is a young mogul making money moves. Y'all know that's my favorite word, money. I'm allergic to broke. Please don't bring that broke to me. Yes, yes, yes. I don't like cheap. I don't like the bird to fly cheap, cheap, cheap. I don't like those birds. None of it. I am all about the dollars. You want to put a smile on my face? Hit my PayPal up, ValerieDeniseJones@gmail.com. As I make myself laugh. Yeah, I do virtual lunches, guys. So, yeah, all sizes, I take it. I just appreciate the love. And I appreciate everybody who has donated so far because we definitely make sure we acknowledge it during our shows. And also we pull you into other things like contest updates, newsletters, and stuff like that. That's called VIP treatment. So if you want that, go over to ValerieDeniseJones.com for more details. Now, Zachary. Zachary is only, I think he's about 25 years old. I need to make sure that I ask him that. But like I said, he's making major moves. in the industry. I always want to say entertainment industry, forgive me. In the industry while positively impacting the community. He is the founder and CEO of Yasi. I hope I said that right. Entertainment. He's officially known by his middle name, and that's it. G-Y-A-S-I. G-Y-A-S-I is how you spell it. I think it's pronounced Yasi, and that means wonderful one in Swahili. He's also a program and music director for TooHotRadio.com, A&R for Tri Entertainment Group, and CEO of Yasi Clothing. And I also want to talk to him about his magazine as well as some of the things that he does for inner city and rural area kids. So right now, the time I'd like to do is welcome him to the show. I appreciate him so much. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Are you there? I know that you were having a few technical difficulties behind the scenes. All right.
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Let me give you applause. Definitely. Yeah, so how are you today? I'm not exactly sure what part of the world you're in. I think Atlanta.
Yes, I'm in Atlanta. What's going on?
Yeah. How's the weather there? It was snowing here in Charlotte, and I heard it was rather cold in Atlanta. So hopefully
it's pretty nippy here, but it's not snowing yet like it is in North Carolina, but it's pretty cold.
Yeah. Do you like the cold weather? Is that your thing?
No, I'm actually from the Midwest, from Gary, Indiana, so that was my whole point of moving here to Atlanta, to get away from the cold. So, and I've also lived in Texas where it was really, really hot too, so definitely don't like the cold.
Yeah, I'm Caribbean and also from Florida, so Santa Claus always wore shorts, and biker shorts in South Beach.
But
I don't like cold weather, man. I swear I don't. I hate it about as much as the word cheap. So you are a young mogul. How old are you? I can't even say. I don't even say how young are you, but you're like this beautiful millennial. I appreciate you.
I just turned 26, November 3rd.
Oh.
I just turned 26.
Oh my gosh, yes. Well, happy belated birthday to you. Definitely. What did you do?
I had actually went to Miami for my birthday, and then after that I had like three different birthday parties here in Atlanta. So other than that, it was pretty cool. I couldn't complain.
So how you gonna come to Miami, my hometown, and then you didn't call me so we could hang out and I could, like a birthday.
Man, if I would have known, I definitely would have contacted you for sure.
Oh my goodness, yeah, maybe we could wild out next year. Yeah, now that we've been properly introduced, thank you so much to Tia Whitaker. That chick be on her job, doesn't she? That Miss
Man,
Tia. I know, right?
Right, man.
Yes.
Tia does
so
a great job, and I love Tia, man. She's been helping out for some years now, so. I'm pretty cool.
Yeah, that's my partner in crime, yeah. So I appreciate her so much. We got a nice little sister circle of friends, and Tia and I, we talk a lot about all the stuff that we do. Speaking of people who are very, very busy and, are definitely dedicating lifeblood, to this game and to this industry, I applaud you. I want to get into that, but I want to make sure I touch on certain aspects of your resume, but I cannot wait to talk to you about your nonprofit because everybody knows I'm all about the kids, right? I'm all about the kids. Yes. I don't have any, but I ain't found the right sperm donor just yet. all about the kids, definitely. So I read, it says that, I see that you've been in, gosh, you're only 26, so how long have you been in the industry? I don't even know how to start. You're not a baby. You're like an old spirit or something. You've done a lot in 25 years.
Yeah, Right, I've done a whole lot, but it's been, let me see, since I was, I would have to say 19.
But it
really goes back to my first time, like, really witnessing that, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. I was, like, 12 years old, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, a stepdad as a Major League Baseball player, so, with that being said, like, he had all of his, you know, celebrity friends and things of that nature. And his, like, they have, like, each year they have these lists that go out, like, all the players' numbers and emails and home addresses and things of that nature. So what I did was that I got homeschooled at 12, at the age of 12. I got homeschooled for a year, and I took advantage of it. And so my homeschool teacher, she had a nonprofit for inner city girls in South Dallas, Texas. So what I did was that I had went and contacted all of the baseball players that I knew, and they sent me, man, they sent me like, you know, $30,000 in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty crazy. So I was raising money for her nonprofit for the girls to go to San Diego, because it was a volleyball program. And they all got their flights paid for, new equipment, the whole nine. So mm-hmm. I was able to help, you know, fund that and do that for them at the age of 12 years old. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. So let's break down this your resume, because, like I said, you've got quite a bit that we talk about. So if I talk too fast, slow me down. It's just that I want people to know everything about you, to be honest. Like I said, I'm very, very impressed. You have accomplished so much. And to all the smokers, we got a show on Wednesday. We do hemp. And I definitely wanted to ask you some questions about that, even though I don't smoke. I do want to pay tribute to the people who do and enjoy a good cigar. So it says, as far as your resume is concerned, that you are the founder and CEO of, am I saying that right, Yossi Entertainment?
Yossi Entertainment.
Yossi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little geeky, a little ghetto, so you guys bear with me. Yeah, I'll butcher everybody's name up. So tell us a little bit about the entertainment company. What is it you specialize in?
Well, I help develop artists and also, you know, help them, you know, further their career, you know, give them consultation and things of that nature, to put them on every platform in the world, you know, Tidal, Spotify, iTunes, the whole nine. And I show them how to, you know, stay strictly independent. Without having to sign, you know, to a major label and sign their life away. Because, you know, mm-hmm. record labels are now, you know, just giving out 360 deals, and these artists don't own nothing. So me, I just, you know, show them how to, you know, build on their own and solely be independent.
Right. And let's expound on that just a little bit, because a lot of our listeners are young people vying to get into the entertainment industry, especially our international audience. So they think that, you know, the American dream is exactly that. And Americans, most of us who know, who've been in this industry and understand, we understand that in order to really enjoy the American dream, you got to be asleep to enjoy this thing.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
So they don't always understand the business and show business. So something that was very profound, because a lot of these guys are getting it, and I really, really applaud them, even though I don't like the PR stunts and stuff that they use via social media. But they are smart enough to keep their stuff, you know, hold on to their masters, their work, you know, use social media to their advantage. Can you give us a little preview, a little synopsis as it relates to that? Like, can you give us some, you know, good, bad, ugly, what you should do with your social media and how to avoid obvious pitfalls based on what you just said?
Well, the main thing with social media is to really, you know, post the right content and don't get caught up in the comments. That's the main thing, is, you know, the comments that people say, you know, it might hurt your feelings. It might be, you know, some criticism here and there. But the main thing is just to keep posting great content and make sure that you post at least once a day, you know, to stay active, you know, so the people can always, your content that you're posting, they can always be fresh on somebody's mind. So that's the main thing, man, and, you know, just staying confident and staying grounded in, you know, who you are. So, you know, that's the best advice I can really give, you know, as far as social media, because that's the hard part is just posting, you know, the same content over and over again and let the people know, hey, this is who I am, this is what I'm posting, and, you know, taking it from there.
Right. Now, as you were talking, because I am really big on knowledge, I want people to definitely, we call what we do edutainment. Because you're being educated while we entertain you, or inspertainment. Sometimes we inspire you while we entertain you. I mean, while we entertain you. Either way, we make sure that you leave, you know, informed. That's very, very, I'm very, very big on that. But as you were talking,
right.
I Googled something about 360 deal, and I want to read this to you and then get your thoughts. But it says, just for the people who do not know what a 360 deal is, according to Google, the whole point of a 360 deal is that the record label gets a cut of most, if not all, of the musician's revenue streams. Hammer out a specific list of what income is included in the 360 deal and work to keep the whole pie for income that the label is not helping you earn. That's very, very important. That's that part. Because I used to make, you know, when I modeled, I was very clear on that. If you don't grind with me, you don't shine with me. So what? You did not help me earn. I'm not giving you 15% of that. That makes no sense. But a lot of these people who don't read their contract, they end up in these deals, and then they get shysted, and then they, you know, they start looking crazy. But, yeah, do you want to say anything else to that before I move forward?
Yeah. I mean, you know, my main thing is that, you know, artists, you know, signing deals and 360 deals and things of that nature. You know, go ahead and get you a lawyer, know what you're signing, and you know, just take it from there. You know, because it's artists out here that's signing their life away, and really don't know what they're getting themselves into. So, you know, if you're an artist, man, and you're listening, just make sure that you got a lawyer on board. You know, learn the business. You know, the artist is the easy part, but learn the business and, you know what you're signing and take it from there.
Right, definitely. And the last thing I want to say about this is I actually clicked the link and now I'm reading excerpts from the actual article, and it supports everything that you're saying. And I just want to say this before we move forward. Under 360 deals, also called multiple rights deals. I don't even like that part. Multiple rights deals. Record labels may get a percentage of things that were previously off limits to them, like concert revenue, merchandise sales, endorsements, and ringtones. I didn't even know that. Wow. In exchange for getting a bigger cut from the artists they represent, the labels commit to promoting the artists for a longer period of time and are supposed to actively try to develop new opportunities for them. And in essence, the label will function as a pseudo-manager and look after the artist's entire career rather than only focusing on selling records. And then the big question was, should you sign a 360 deal? And your answer to that was, get a lawyer, correct?
Right. The 360 is not where it's at. At all.
Right. Yeah. All right. So you're okay, so program director, A&R, does all that tie into it as it relates to TooHotRadio.com and Tri Entertainment Group?
Uh-huh.
Okay, all right. And then when did the clothing come into play? Is this like, are we talking like T-shirts, different type of merch to support the entertainment ventures?
Well, my clothing line is what really came first. My clothing line came first. And then everything else, you know, pretty much fell into place after that. But, yeah, you know, I had, you know, hats, shirts, sandals, hoodies, bucket hats, you name it. You know, I had all of it. So right now I'm in the process of relaunching because I'm about to come out with my own shoe as well. So that's my next big thing is to come out with my own shoe. Right.
Okay,
so
all right.
That's my,
so when you say you're in the process, when you say you're in the process, do you have a website for where people can go and look at the clothing?
No, actually, I have the Instagram page. I'm actually rebooting the website for the clothing and everything once I come out with my shoes so I can go ahead and put everything out there, because I'm out of shoe, I'm gonna have bags, backpacks, everything.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I like how you think. God, I'm telling you, so your parents, were they entrepreneurs? Like, where's all this inspiration and innovation? And God, I can just keep going. Where's it coming from?
My main inspiration is through, you know, the people around me, you know, especially, you know, my mentors, and so on. You know, my father, my mother, you know, my mother is a really, really big influence. So, because, like, my mom, like, she actually had a cafe out in Texas called Fresh Healthy Cafe. And, you know, she's also an investor and things of that nature. And, you know, she's done a lot of different projects. So, you know, my main thing is to, you know, influence, you know, my generation, which is, you know, the millennials, to, you know, have as many businesses as possible. And also, you know, if you want to go after your dreams and do what you want to do, you know, it's very possible. So I'm here to show that.
Right. All right. So I'm going to fast forward just a little bit for the sake of time, because like I said, I definitely want to end talking about your nonprofit foundation. So normally when people say secret society, it's synonymous with something negative, you know, something Masonic. Your magazine is called Secret Society Magazine, but it's a platform for merging art, music, and entrepreneur. Why did you name it that?
The reason why I named it that was also, you know, just to catch the eye, because like you said, when you think of secret society, you think of all the Illuminati or some of that nature, but it's not like that. You know, once you see, you know, the ins and outs of the magazine, you'd be like, oh, wow, this is a really dope concept. And, you know, I came up with the idea through, you know, when you look at, like, major Fortune 500 companies or anything of that nature, you don't know how, you know, their businesses got built. They don't tell you everything. So with that being said, I was like, well, I'll do the same thing with my mag. You know, you don't know who's inside the magazine until you open it or you buy it. You know, and it was a catchy concept, and no other magazine does that. So I always like to go against the grain. So with the mag, I was like, well, I'll go ahead and take that route, and I've been winning, so it's been going pretty well. And I have no cover, so it just says Secret Society Magazine on the front. So, you know, it's always going to draw somebody's attention.
Right. Okay, so that was intentional. Awesome. And then you partner with a liquor brand to complete the venture. How does that work?
Yeah, I had partnered with a liquor brand called E-Curd, and, you know, I was willing to, you know, help them expand as well and do other things. And I'm still partnered with them, but they're, you know, their company is under construction, doing whatever they have to do. But that partnership was basically for my cigars at first. But once that company went under construction, I had to go another route with my cigars and take it from there. So, but yeah, I was definitely partnered with them.
Okay, but can we still go to the secretsocietymagazine.com for information? Is that?
Yes.
Now that they okay, I was just making sure because that was a very, very interesting dynamic. And that website, again, people, is the Secret Society Magazine.com. And then, if that wasn't enough, we've got a cigar line. We've got that for the smokers out there. Who do you call people? What do you call people who smoke cigars? Or do you have a special name? I didn't even Google that one. You know, like they call people who smoke weed potheads, like that, you know. Do they have people who smoke, what do they call them?
No, I mean for the most part, I mean, you know, we have cigar heads, of course. But anybody that smokes my cigars is definitely a G. And you know, when I mean G, I don't mean, you know, in a thuggish way. What G means, you know, of course, it stands for Jasi as well. So, you know, Jasi meaning wonderful in Swahili. You know, I kind of flipped it and I used it, you know, for the better, using G for the better, and not for, you know, a roguish or thuggish term. But, you know, a lot of people that smoke cigars, they want to be a G, or they're a boss in some sort. You have doctors, lawyers, politicians, you know, they all smoke cigars. But at the end of the day, they're all bosses, entrepreneurs, the whole nine. So, you know, I just put a positive light on that and, you know, infusing it with the Duce as well. So you got Jay-Z, who don't want to be next to Jay-Z, you know. So when I infused them with the Duce, everybody, you know, it really caught everybody's eye because they're like, oh, man, you know, this Jay-Z's brand, you got to be doing something right. So, you know, and it was really outside the box and nobody else was doing it.
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And I mean, literally having this conversation is very enlightening, because I agree with the fact that you reference yourself as a serial entrepreneur. Definitely that. Serial. And you said that this is just the beginning. So, wow.
Yeah.
Like I can only imagine the next 10 years, just
right.
The beginning. So I just want to remind people, you got Cigar Line G Cigars, and they're scheduled to come out this winter. So is there a launch date? I looked for that.
Well, the cigars are already out. The website is gcigars.weebly.com. So you can definitely look that up. And, yeah, the cigars have been out for a while, but I haven't had an official launch party yet. So I've just been building the buzz up on it and, you know, creating more sales and things of that nature. So when I have a launch party, it'll be official.
Okay. But can they just go to, like, your Facebook page and or Twitter or something, some social media, to get all these links?
You can follow me, especially my Instagram. I post every day on my Instagram, so it's King Jasi on Instagram. So, and that's KINGGYASI.
Okay, and then your Facebook is Zakari King Thurman. I just want to let people know that for those still, I know it's kind of antiquated versus Instagram. I know they say, oh, you ain't popping unless you on the gram. That's what Tia tells me all the time. So I'm getting there. I got a lot, I mean, I won't say a lot of followers, but I have a bunch of followers on there, and I'm like, dang, what they following? It's pretty cool that, yeah, people use the gram to communicate the way they do. Before I shift gears, I want to give you an opportunity to tell us about anything that we haven't touched on, because this is me. I'm tithing in, you know, channeling my millennial spirit. I'm on the border of that. But, yeah, I want to give you an opportunity if there's anything we haven't touched on that you want our listening audience to know more about, or any more redirects as it relates to any more websites or that we haven't addressed.
Well, one thing I can say is that I have some very talented artists that I'm about to release and put out. I've currently partnered with another label, to put these artists out, and two of the artists are my brother and sister as well. So I'm pretty excited about that because I just found out my sister can sing and my brother can rap. So
okay.
Yeah.
That'll
and
be like
you know
Jackson
my brother. Yeah, right. So yeah, but you know, to also add to the resume as well, before we get off, my brother, he's Groot in Avengers. I manage him, and he's actually on Netflix as well on the show Half and
oh,
Leonard
wow.
season 2. So you can
okay.
check that out. So I manage his career and you know get him right. So and my other little brother is his stunt double. So.
Yeah, y'all are like, gosh, this is even bigger. Because I was thinking, see, it's different than the Jackson 5. There's a family I'm thinking of. Everybody in the family is talented. I can't remember who it is. But it's like everybody has, you know, something that they're doing and they're prospering, you know, in their, you know, their industry, whatever it is. And I'm drawing a blank. There is a black family where everybody works. I am good friends with Bernard Bronner. And that's what he says, you know, when they start walking, everybody works. But that's not the family I'm thinking of. It's another family that seems to be like yours. So you guys are like the royal family, our royal family. And I applaud that definitely. Keep it going, man. That's so beautiful. I do agree with you. This is just the beginning. And I definitely want, I'm not ending right now. I want to, do you have about 20 more minutes to spend with me? Do you have? About 15.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Because I want to talk to you again about this nonprofit foundation, but I wanted to get the entertainment portion of, you know, I wanted to make sure I addressed all of that because you do have a lot going on, and I'm thankful. But I do want to, I'm always marketing and networking, send the invitation out that when you do promote, you know, your brother and sister, send the music over here. So we can show them some love, get some interviews, and we got a couple different platforms. Yeah, we can put them on, and yeah, just shoot. I want to be a serial
okay.
entrepreneur too.
Most definitely.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is wonderful. But yeah, so what I want to do is I want to pick your brain and your heart just a little bit because, like I said, kids mean a lot to me, and there are a lot of different distinctions as it relates to, you know, certain parts of the country, different aspects of, you know, just how we address kids. But it's just like, you know, the most dubious ones is like the segregated school systems, you know, or inner cities or something where people just have a difficult time addressing or catering to what societies call like little black and brown people. Do you know what I mean? Like our issues
right.
all of a sudden people get a little ignorant and get a little stupid. They don't know what to do with us, even though half the time they've caused the problem. So I definitely want to, you know, slow it down and talk to you about this nonprofit. But I want to play this little clip for you. Because it's like a little tribute to the kids. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about it, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
We're in bed, and then they started shooting, and then my mom came in and told us to get on the floor.
Drug use, gang activity, shootings, drive-bys. You know, there are things that are dealing with and which average kids may not have to deal with.
Every day I hear gunshots, like, you know, during the night, during the day, it really doesn't matter.
There was shooting, two guys dead, two more hurt.
Two teenagers were shot outside a busy fast food restaurant.
One of the most extensive studies on post-traumatic stress disorder in the community was done here in Atlanta, and it found the staggering statistic that of those who live in low-income areas in this city, 46% suffered from PTSD. That is a rate much higher even than soldiers who've seen war.
Spend time in some inner cities and you can understand why. to children in particular, it can sometimes feel like a war zone.
War to them may be a local drive-by between gang rivals, you know. War to them may be walking down the street on a needle or seeing someone, you know, using drugs. You know, that is war. And these kids see this on a daily basis, so they may think it's normal when, you know, we know it's not.
When you look at how the rest of the developed world fares when it comes to gun murders as compared to the U.S., you start to see how many more here must be touched by violence.
In a neighborhood, they might hear maybe a car backfiring, and it sounds like a gunshot, and they might have something like a panic response. So they might have increased sweating, increased heart rate response. On a clinical level, what we call that is hypervigilance, is this inability to feel safe. Their brains grow up faster, their biology grows up faster. Gunshots and this violence in the street is something that they're adapting to, and their brain is adapting to it as well, and we can see that on the imaging.
In effect, in these neighborhoods, children's brains are measurably growing up faster because of what they're exposed to. But that affects their ability to learn. It makes it difficult for them to build relationships, makes them more susceptible to depression and to drug use.
Unlike soldiers who come home from war and now they no longer are in that dangerous environment, a lot of the children in this study are still living in that dangerous environment.
We were in bed, and then they started shooting, and then my mom came in and told us to get on the floor and then get up until it stopped. And then it stopped, and one person died, and the police came.
Like, I even witnessed my kids getting off the school bus, and, you know, we heard gunshots from the next complex over. It's hard for me to go to sleep because sometimes the gun violence, like the guns, going off, I can still hear them sometimes, like, ringing in my ear.
Researchers say the levels of PTSD in U.S. inner cities are comparable to those in refugee populations around the world, but that here it goes unrecognized, leaving many to cope alone with the impact.
All right, guys, that is the end of that audio clip. You are listening to, I told you this episode is called Salty and Sweet. It will be known from this point on as Everybody Loves to Talk, and then we'll have, you know, we'll show you the lighter side, and then we'll deal with something sort of kind of serious like we're doing right now with Mr. Thurman. 929-477-1167 is the number, 929-477-1167 is the number I want you to lock in your phone. Because like I said, we'll no longer be on Tuesdays. We've moved to Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you'll get a double whammy, this on Thursday and then Judge Brown on Friday. So, Mr. Thurman, I want to talk to you because, like I said, it meant a big deal. It's a big deal for me to read in your resume that you have something called the Dakari Project, which is a nonprofit foundation for inner city and rural area kids. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I had switched the Dakari Project up because now, like, the Dakari Project is now more geared towards albinism. At one point, I was focusing more on the inner city kids and things of that nature because, you know, I'm from Gary, Indiana, and, you know, I know what it looks like to, you know, live in poverty. I've seen it, you know what I'm saying, and experienced it as well, but, you know, not to a lot of kids' extent where they just went without all the time. But the reason I switched it over to albinism is because of my brothers, and I seen what my brothers were going through as, you know, as they were growing up being albino. You know, these are my blood brothers. It's not like they were adopted or anything of that nature. And so, you know, building their confidence and things of that over the years, I went ahead and switched it for the better because that kind of, you know, touched my heart because, you know, these are my brothers and people were calling them white boy and calling them, you know, Eminem and all this other stuff. So, you know, it wasn't cool. But, you know, now they're the most popular kids in school. So, you know, doing what they love to do and, you know, acting in major movies and things of that nature. So I went ahead and switched it over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, definitely, wow, that's another thing. I definitely want to applaud you for that as well. Are you still doing the, before I ask this next question, but are you doing the Friends Feed the Hungry initiative in Atlanta? Are you still involved in that?
Yes, most definitely. Yes,
okay.
I'm about to kick that back off. Because with the Jossi and Friends, you know, feed the homeless and things of that nature and give back to the less fortunate, what I base that off of is pretty much, you know, it's not just on holidays. Like, I don't do things on the holidays like people do Thanksgiving and Christmas and things of that nature. I just do it because I want to do it. And when I started it, I had worked my first job at Walmart. And with that money, I was using to fund the whole thing. And so I started to get, you know, radio interviews and more recognition and things like that, and people wanted to help. So I would ask people to just bring stuff. You know, I had people that were bringing socks and shoes and donating clothes and toiletries for the women. And I would have 10 to 15 pans of food out there with chicken and macaroni and green beans and everything. And, you know, it just went from there, and I didn't have to put any more money into it. And I wasn't asking the people for money. I was like, you know, come out here and actually help and bring something. That was all I asked of. And then on top of that, I had a food truck that was donated as well. So every time I did it, I had a food truck that we were working off of. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool as well. You know, that was a dope experience.
Right, definitely. Wow, that's a lot. I definitely, again, want to applaud you for all of this. Facebook, Zachary King Thurman, and also Instagram, King Jossi, G-Y-A-S-I. Tia, are you in the background? Can you hear me? Tia, are you there? Miss Whitaker?
Hey, I'm here. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I wanted to definitely bring you in because I've got about maybe 5 or 6 more minutes, and I wanted to ask both of you something because after I read his resume, I was inspired. I know he's shifted gears just a little bit, but I was inspired by the fact that he had sort of kind of in a sense addressed a lot of issues, you know, that we have regarding our black and brown, you know, our babies. Because it's profound to me that people don't want to acknowledge the fact that a lot of these kids do suffer from post-traumatic stress, you know, that they do live in war zones, and that what we consider abnormal, they think is normal. Like the girl was saying, you know, to hear gunfire or to see somebody dead, that just seemed normal to her. And, yeah, it's just really, really crazy. Do you guys have any thoughts, any food for thought, that we could leave people with, definitely after the playing that clip, anything that you want to say that could really help people during this holiday season? We don't know who we're talking to. We don't know who we're loving on. I'm not even certain why I said that, but I do like to, you know, put stuff out in the ether and send blessings abroad because we don't just want to, you know, buy toys. We want to make sure people are whole inwardly as well as, you know, happy outside because they got their little favorite little trinkets or whatever. So I'll give you guys the chance to say what you got to say.
Well, for me, my message would just be love on these kids because it is so much going on. They're exposed to a lot. And that's all kids because whether it's your child or a child you know personally who's going through, if it's not them, they have friends at school, and kids share with each other, you know. So it's a lot. I see a lot from being in the school system, and I see a lot of things that the kids go through in their neighborhoods, or they come telling what relatives or friends went through, and they become very depressed about it. So I would say, if nothing more, just make sure we're clinging to our children because it is so much going on, and it's hard for them. It's really hard for them, and it's hard for them sometimes to express it. Some people don't have parents at home in a household, or a lot of our kids who are in the school systems are actually foster children, and so they're kind of being bounced from place to place, no stability. So if nothing else, kind of connect with these kids and try to mentor as much as possible, because they really need positive role models.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What about you, Mr. Thurman? Do you have anything you want to say about this? Because I know what you're doing now doesn't necessarily fit the bill, but what do you want to say?
One thing I can say is that a lot of kids definitely need to hear the word "I love you" more. Between "I love you" and hugs, a lot of people, a lot of parents don't realize how far a hug can go. And, you know, I'm talking, you know, even from experience and, you know, even the things I've went through as a kid. Everything starts off in the home. So whatever you teach your kid, that's what they're going to repeat and do. So with that being said, man, like, you know, my family, they brought me up, you know, based off having respect for others and, you know, treating everybody equally. Because you never know what the next person is going through. So
right.
That stuck with me since I was a kid. And, you know, that's why I have a lot of respect, you know, within, you know, people and my peers. Like recently I've had a guy that I went to school with. He was in ninth grade and I was in eighth grade, but he recently just hit me up on Facebook and was like, he was like, "Hey, you know, do you remember that time I asked you why you don't sag your pants?" I was like, "Nah, what are you talking about?" And he was like, "Man, you told me that you don't sag your pants because you have respect for your parents and they told you not to." And so now that he has a child, he was like, "Man," he was like, "that conversation stuck with me and it's gonna stick with me for the rest of my life now that I have a child and I'm able to teach him how to have respect."
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, that goes a long way, man. So, but, you know, that was kind of off subject, but, you know, like I said, you know, telling kids that you love them, care about them and, you know, a hug, man, that goes a long way. And we need to show more kids how to be entrepreneurs out here.
Yes, 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 definitely that. Yeah. I definitely, want to again applaud you. Because, like I said, a lot of times, a lot of people write our situation, so to speak, and I want to use that term lightly, as a lack of education. They attribute it to a lack of education and resources, you know, and it's really, really sad that they do that. And I hate that people, especially the media, the light they shine on certain things, because it just, in my opinion, this means we're underrepresented and we need to bring more attention to stuff like that. So I think everything that you just said, somebody will get something from, you know, every aspect of this interview today. And I definitely appreciate you so much for spending time with me, because if they don't, you know, get something from that, they're just going to get something from, you know, you selling cigars, you being young, you being a clothing owner, owning a magazine, all this stuff. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I just got a warning. They're kicking us out of the building. But I definitely want to encourage people to please go to the SecretSocietyMagazine.com and also his social media and his Facebook page, Dakari King Thurman. So, guys, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Tia. Thank you, Yasi. I hope you have a great rest of the day. I appreciate you so much. I'll send you guys the link. I really, really enjoyed this. And please see me at ValerieDeniseJones.com.
Cool, cool. I appreciate you.
Are you a dope go-getter like a stylist, model, beauty expert, or independent artist doing your thing? If
Hello.
So, Fashion Life and Tea is looking for you. All you have to do is email us at info@fashionlifeandtea.com. for a chance to be on our podcast. To learn more about who we are and what we do, you can check out our blog at fashionlifeandtea.com.
Media Fury Radio, hosted by Valerie Denise Jones, every Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One furious hour of breaking news.